Heavenly Father, thank you. We thank you, Lord, for every aspect of our life. Lord, sometimes the things go on that we have no clue about. We get confused. But Lord, you're right there to set us straight as long as we keep our hearts and minds focused upon you. Even though the confusion is all around us and we don't understand what it is that we're going through or the whys or how we're going to get out, Lord, we just look to you and just trust in you and cling to you until the storm passes, because we know that it will. It always does. And that fills us with confidence, Lord, that you have us and that we know that we are yours, because your word tells us we can have confidence in the things that you're doing in our lives. For all things that come to us are by your hand, and you do those things so that we will be instilled with faith in you, trust in you, love you with all our hearts. So, Father, I pray that as we look into your word, that your spirit would be poured out upon us, and that we would receive that spirit. Lord, help us to walk in your spirit so that we may be pleasing to you and bring forth fruit that you desire. So, Lord, I pray that you would have your way with us. Fill us again with your spirit and teach us out of your word great and marvelous things. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so let us turn in our Bibles to 2 Timothy. Last week, we were going through what Paul was doing for Timothy. It was pastoral advice to Timothy. Timothy was a young pastor of a church, and there were these things that were going on in his fellowship. People were coming in with different ideas, heresies. They were trying to subvert people's faith by bringing followers unto themselves, saying, hey, follow after me, because I have the truth. Paul didn't know what he was talking about, but I have the truth. If you see Paul, see, he's in prison. So if God is with him, why would he be in prison? Wouldn't he be free to walk around and share the good news? But instead, he's in chains, you know. And people were ashamed of his chains. People were ashamed that he was locked up, that he was going through these things. And they were saying, well, maybe that's true. Well, you know, things aren't going so well, so maybe you don't have the word, you know. Because we, as people, we look at success. And we see, you know, large buildings, and we see many people coming into the church, and we say, man, this is success. But what did Jesus say? Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and narrow is the way, and few there be that would find it, that leads to life. So it's not necessarily about numbers. It's about the individual. Each and every one of us are relegated to God. We are his. And we come together because we are his. Not because we belong to a grand organization. That's not it at all. What it is that, hey, we are believers in Christ and we come together to get built up in the most holy faith. So, Paul here is giving Timothy some advice on how to conduct the fellowship. He says, to study to show yourself approved in verse 15. He says, study to show yourself approved unto God, most importantly. If you're studying to show yourself approved unto man, you're doing it under the wrong motivation. Now, he's saying there so that you can rightly divide the word of truth, and that's a good thing. But you're studying to show yourself approved unto God. You're doing this because you love God, not because you're trying to impress others. Or not even because you're trying to do ministry. Ministry is an outflow of your relationship to the Lord. Remember that. Now, yes, we have to study. If we're going to be doing Bible studies and things like that, we do need to get in and study. But that should be after the fact. We're studying a particular thing. But in our daily walk with the Lord, what we're doing is getting to know the Lord better. Getting to know what it is that he has for our lives. Maybe he's going to reveal to us some things that are going to come to pass. Next week might be a little heavy as far as that goes, because Paul is going to warn us about, hey, in the end times, perilous times will come. And nobody likes to hear about perilous times, but they are coming. And they may be coming to you this week. It might not wait till next week. The perilous times may be upon us. And that can take shape in anything. Not just persecution. Not being beat up or put to death. But persecution in our hearts and our minds, when the enemy comes in like a flood and starts to fill our hearts and minds with doubt and things that, you know, like the vain babbling that Paul warns Timothy about. Study to show yourself approved so that you can rightly divide the word of truth. The word of truth being what you stand on, your foundation. And what's the foundation? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. As we saw on Wednesday in Psalm 11. If the foundations be destroyed, where will the righteous stand? So if your mind, in your mind, you can be persuaded that, hey, there's something wrong with this Bible, man. This Bible doesn't give forth God's word. It's not according to truth. You see, this is the foundation. And if that foundation can be destroyed in your mind and in your heart, where are you going to stand? What are you going to stand on? You're not going to be able to believe anything. And what's being attacked today more than anything else is the Word of God. It was written by guys. Yes, it was written by men. It was written over a 4,000 year period, 66 books, written by about 40 guys, but by the same Spirit. They were moved on by the Holy Spirit to write these things down. And we look at these things and we see, hey, man, they're true. How can we know that these things are true? Well, we have in the Scripture, it tells us. It says, we have the more sure word of prophecy. You see, God authenticates His word by telling us the end from the beginning. He tells us way in the beginning of the book what's going to transpire. We can see that in the book of Genesis. We said that there's going to be a Savior that's going to take away sin in Genesis 3:15. There's going to be somebody that's going to come and is going to die for your sins. Now, we see the overall prophecy there, but as we go on through time, the Lord gives us more and more detail about those things. The most famous prophecy that I like, the one that we can really assure ourselves of, because it can be proven by dates, was the 70 weeks prophecy that was given to Daniel. Daniel was told 69 weeks. From the time that the commandment went forth to rebuild in Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince was going to be 69 weeks. 69, well, it turns out that was 173,880 days. And on the very day, it was mathematically verified that on that very day, Jesus Christ presents Himself as the Messiah. So we have the more sure word of prophecy. And as we have looked at prophecy after prophecy after prophecy, we see that the Lord's word is true. So, that being said, guess what is being attacked today? Prophecy. People are the higher critics, quote unquote, the critics are coming against going through Bible prophecy. Because how can we know a thing? You see, it's the same thing that the Gnostics went through. How can you even know a thing? It's all esoteric. And then you start using these 25-cent words and stuff like that to try to lose people in the thoughts. And they try to, you know, befuddle people. When the Lord says to become as little children in faith, reading, believing, and putting into practice. You see, there's those three need to be taking place. You need to come to the Lord. And what is the Bible says, hey, you know, you first must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And so Paul here is saying, study to show yourself approved unto God. You're studying His word because you want to know more about God, and you want to increase your faith in God. So that's why we study, so that we can rightly divide. So when these things come upon, and his next thought is, shun profane and vain babblings. The exact opposite of what the Word of God is. Men come in with vain babblings and lofty ideas and slick words and you know, polished, you know, brochures and things like that. Hey, this is the right way to go. It's successful. It works. And it's this and it's now. And God must be in it because look at all the people that are following it. And you see these little brochures and everybody that's endorsing it. Oh, how wonderful that is. People you probably have never heard of. But they're endorsing it, saying this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. Shun profane and vain babblings, because they will increase the more to ungodliness. Whereas if you study to show yourself approved, it will increase to more godliness. How do I know that I'm growing in the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ? Because You're studying to show yourself approved unto God, and you're growing in godliness. You're not falling away from godliness. You're growing in godliness. You're producing fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is becoming evident in your lives. That's how you know that you're growing in grace. Now remember, as I said last week, that Paul is giving direction to Timothy about how to conduct the folks in the church. These are believers. Because it's going to be important as we continue on here, as we move down to verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. This is the call, folks. This is the call. The Lord, first of all, called you. He's the one that initiated all of these things. He's the one that put the desire in your heart to follow after him, to seek out the Lord Jesus Christ. His Spirit went forth to convict of sin, to say, man, there's something not right in my life. There's something that's bugging me in my life, and I have to do something about it. I'm going crazy. I don't know what it is. And the Lord convicts us of sin. That's what conviction's all about. It's not being able to live with yourself because of the things that you've done. Man, I know that what I've done is wrong. I need to appease it. I need to get rid of this guilt. It's driving me crazy. And a lot of people appease that by doing good works. They like to give money to the poor. They like to join causes. They like to volunteer their time at homeless shelters or soup kitchens or this or that. And it appeases them because they figure that if I do something good, it's going to offset that which I've done wrong. And you know what that is? That's works of the flesh. And the Lord tells us about that. Works of the flesh isn't going to cut it. It's not going to alleviate the guilt. This is what the Jews do today because they have no place to do their sacrifice. Around the time of Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, what they do is they go out. If you live near a Jewish community, make yourself known, because they were looking for people to do good deeds to. They're looking for people to bestow some kind of a gift to so that they can make up, so that the balance will be more in the favor of good than it is in bad. But we know that those are works of the flesh, and those are not acceptable unto God. So what do they clamor for now? They're clamoring for the temple to be rebuilt so that they can do sacrifices, so that they can do what the law requires. The law requires a sacrifice for sin, to alleviate the guilt. This is what the Lord requires, sacrifice. Okay, well, we know, as the church, we know that Jesus Christ was the sacrifice. Jesus Christ was the sacrifice for our sins, so we don't have to do the animal thing anymore. And all the animal rights groups go, yay! They do. I don't know what's going to happen. There's going to be some kind of clash when the temple gets rebuilt again, because these guys are going to go absolutely ballistic. Okay. The foundation of God standeth sure. But what our response is that we refrain from evil, that we turn away from iniquity. That's the thing that's been bothering us. We do these things, and this is where we get our guilt, and so we need to turn away from those things. How do we turn away from them? We don't have the ability to do that, or do we? Why, yes, we do. The Lord has set us free. And the Lord says, if the Lord has set you free, you are indeed free. Free from what? Well, I still sin. Yeah, but you don't have to. Now you can say no. Before Jesus Christ, you couldn't say no. You weren't held accountable for that. Believe it or not. There's only one sin that's going to condemn a person. One sin and one sin only. That is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And that is, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is this, that Jesus Christ forgives sins. So if you reject that, you know what you're doing? You're calling the Holy Spirit a liar. And that's blasphemy. Because God can't lie. That's what it's about. That's the only sin that you're going to be condemned for, is not accepting God's provision. Because on the cross, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe shall not be condemned. He died for the sin of all the world. All of it was taken care of on the cross. But we have to make the choice. We will either choose that, yes, I accept what Jesus Christ has done, or no, I don't think that's going to cut it. I'm going to find out my own way. Or I'm going to ignore it altogether. See, it's one of the two. You know, usually I'm going to do it my own way, or it doesn't really exist. If I close my eyes and turn away from it, then it really doesn't exist. Now, if you've ever thrown something away that's been in the trash for about 3 or 4 days, it starts to, emit an aroma that's not pleasing. Now, you can do one of two things. You can take the trash out, or you can just close your eyes and hold your nose. Nope, that smell doesn't exist. It's not there. Nope, I don't smell it. But after a while, it's going to get to you. It's going to drive you crazy. This is the same thing about sin. The Lord tells us to turn away from that sin. Repent is what the word in the scripture says. Turn away. Repent from that sin. That's what it's saying to do here. Depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Now this might, to some, appear to be that there are going to be different classes in heaven, classes of folks. Those that have turned away from iniquity and those that have not. But the Lord knows who are His. And this is key and this is paramount. The Lord knows whose are His. And those that are filled with the Spirit and those that are turning away from iniquity. Now, we struggle. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we're going to be free from sin. We're not going to be free from temptation. That we're not going to be free from struggles in this life. And we're going to fall and we're going to give in to temptation because they are greater than what we are. And the Lord is teaching us through those things how to worship Him. It's fascinating to me that out of all the feasts, the 5 feasts of Moses and then the 2 extras that were thrown in there after the fact. But Pentecost is the only feast where leaven is required. And we know that leaven is a type of sin. And it's mixed in with 3 measures of meal. The fellowship offering is tainted with sin. And as a Jew, you'd look at this and say, man, something's not right here. Did we hear right? You're going to mix leaven in with these loaves? I don't think so. I don't see how that can happen. But that was a requirement. And what did that symbolize? It symbolizes the church. That where God would dwell into sinful flesh and yet still be accepted. How can this be? Now, this kind of falls in line, I think, with 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. So let's turn there, if you would, please. 1 Corinthians. Oh, come on, really? Okay, it's not working for me here. Yes, these electronic devices, man, I'll tell you. Verse 11 starts out, for other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So it's kind of building off of the same idea we talked about before, the foundation. The foundation is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So what we're specifying here, what Paul is telling us here, that, hey, we're going to be doing things by the Holy Spirit. And if we're doing things by the flesh, it's going to be wood, hay, and stubble, and it's going to be revealed by fire when we get to heaven. All of the things that we've been doing, have we been doing it by the Spirit, or are we doing it by the flesh? And it's the same, it's the same thing as what we talked about in 2 Timothy. He was talking about, hey, you have vessels of honor, gold and silver. These are the things that you present to your guests. You know, hey, look at these silver goblets and the gold goblets that you're eating and the plates and then the silverware that you have here. This is the fine stuff. This is the things of honor where you're eating with. Whereas the wood and the clay or the earthen vessels, the terracotta pots, these were used for toiletry items. These were things of dishonor. These aren't things that you would parade around, but they're kept hidden because these are, you know, not honorable things. But yet they're still in the great house. All of these things are necessary. And all of these things are coming in. And every person will have their place in the kingdom of God. There are those that walk by the Spirit. They're saved. And they're treasured by the Lord. There are those that are saved that have struggles. And they're falling constantly. They are still a part of the kingdom of God. And they are treasured by the Lord. But there are things that we can do in this earth to please the Lord. To bear fruit. But others, not so much. And some will be saved gloriously. There are those that are walking with the Lord, that are pleasing with the Lord. And there are others that are struggling. And they're just going to make it by the skin of their teeth. And that's what Paul is saying here. They shall be saved, but as by fire. As if they're jumping out of the fire. You see, we will have treasures in heaven. But how do we get them there? We send them up ahead. You see? There are those that are called, I don't really care to call them that, but they're carnal Christians. There are people that are so enamored with this world that they're not really walking with the Lord. But the caveat to this is, they know, the Lord knows whose are His and whose are not. So our response is to turn away from iniquity, to continually turning away from iniquity. Yeah, we're going to stumble. Yeah, we're going to fall. But hey, eventually the fruit of the Spirit is going to start to come out in our lives. And we're going to be pleasing unto the Lord. A good test of that is wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever thought comes into your mind, Lord, is this thought pleasing to you? Is this thought from you? Is this going to give you glory if I follow this thought through to its end course? Or what about the movie that I go see, or the music that I listen to, or the places that I go? Are these things going to be pleasing to you? Are they going to give you honor and glory? Or am I following after my flesh? You see, as a believer in Jesus Christ, we're going to be tempted by those things. Don't get me wrong. However, when we turn away from those things, we send up treasures ahead. No, Lord, I don't want the things of this world. I want to send the things ahead. I want to enjoy your kingdom. And I'm going to live for your kingdom. Sometimes, you know, you get these folks that, hey, I'm too happy with the things of the world to enjoy the Lord. And I'm too happy in the Lord to enjoy the things of the world. So I'm at these straits, you know, and I have to make a decision. And that's what the Lord is telling us. We need to make the decision. Are we going to live for Him, put away iniquity, or are we going to live in our flesh? Now, if you have more ideas that, hey, I would rather be happy in this world, check. Are you really part of the Lord's kingdom? Ask yourself this. This is something we should be asking ourselves every day. Because, I don't know about you guys, but I am bombarded all day long with temptations of the flesh, one way or another. Whether it's, you know, and he's going to address this in a little bit about fleeing youthful lusts. Hey, man, we're supposed to flee youthful lust. Now, when we think about youthful lust, we always think of lust, right? But, hey, lust for sexual things, but not necessarily. What about, I want to be somebody. Man, I want to, you know, I want to be famous or I want to be respected by the world. And that's so antithesis of what the Lord says. Hey, if you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, be the servant of all. That's tough if you're harboring those ideas of, man, I want to be somebody. I want to be looked up. I want somebody to look up to me. I want, you know, to be honored in people's eyes. Well, a lot of people come into the ministry with the idea that, man, you know what? I'm going to work so hard for the Lord. I'm going to build the biggest church that ever was in the entire world. And we're going to have thousands of congregations. And we're going to go out and we're going to spread the gospel through all of the earth. And when it doesn't happen, oh, man, what a miserable failure I was. No, don't set yourself up for those things. You see, the Lord knows what it is that we need. And if you're going to go into the ministry, and you all are in full-time ministry, by the way, all we're here to do is to be a testimony of what God does in a sinner's life. That's all the Lord asks, is for us to be a witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How did the people of the first century find out that Jesus rose from the dead? How did they find out? Somebody told them. The disciples went through and told them. One of the testimonies of that they said about Paul, he says, well, the whole dispute is about the Jews who, you know, they put Jesus to death, and then Paul claims that he's alive. That's the only thing that's the only reason why we're here today. And you know, you got to think about the magistrates back in that, what in the world? You know, these guys say that he's dead and he says he's alive. What do I care about any of these things? You know, get rid of it. Get it off my, get it off my desk. But the testimony is that Jesus Christ is alive. And as we conform ourselves to what the scriptures tell us, that's they're going to see that transformation that takes place. Let's go back to 2 Peter, or 2 Timothy. But in a great house there are only vessels of there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. But they are indeed still in the house. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. How does this happen? Because you study to show yourself approved unto God. This is how we're prepared. We're waiting. We're studying and we're saying, Lord, use me. I'm ready. I'm studying the word. I'm ingesting it. I'm putting into practice. So, Lord, use me. Use me in whatever capacity that you would have me to do. Flee youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. All of these things we're supposed to follow. We're supposed to encourage people in the most holy faith. Righteousness. Follow righteousness. Follow faith. Encourage people in their faith. See somebody that's struggling, then come alongside and help. Now, I like the descriptor that Paul puts on this. With them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. There are people that call on the Lord out of not a pure heart. They come in with pretenses. There are people that play at church. There are people that, you know, make themselves look like they're believers. And people follow after them, thinking, oh, well, they're a believer, and they're doing this and that and the other thing. But if we're departing from iniquity, then that won't even be a question, because you'll be able to look at the Word. The Word says this. This is what you're doing. Great. But if there's something questionable going on, well, guess what? You're not living for others. You're living for yourself, because you're leading folks into temptation. They're following you. People are looking at you. What does a believer look like? And can you look in the mirror every day? I am going to lead people in righteousness. That's what we should be doing every day. I'm a witness of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ lives in me. Everything that I do is going to lead people to Jesus Christ. And then you follow the pattern after that. Now, yeah, we're going to fail. We're going to fall. You know, we're still trapped in these human bodies. However, we have the Holy Spirit. We have a force that can be reckoned with as far as being able to turn away from sin. And we can pray, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. And when these thoughts come into my mind, let a flag go off in my head or a klaxon horn or something to let me know that these things are not from you. And then after a while, you're going to say, you know what? I've had that thought before, and I know where it leads, and I know that's not from the Lord. It's leading me away from the Lord. It leads me into more ungodliness. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. So the servant of the Lord must not strive. My friends, if you read any of the blogosphere today, it seems that's all that believers do is strive. That's all they do is fight one another. Or, hey, we're gonna come against this group or that group or the other group. And that's not what the word calls us to do. He said, we must not strive, but we must be gentle. And that's one of the things that I don't see in the Christian community on the web these days is genteel, being, you know, considerate of others' feelings. There are ways to confront being wrong. There are ways to confront that. And that is to take them before the Lord. Look, you know, I don't agree with what you're doing. I see the attitude that you have, and I'm going to take you before the Lord. We don't need to post sarcastic little comments on their Facebook page whenever they, you know, say something that we don't agree with. We can take them through and pray for them. Pray for these folks that they would, you know, yield themselves to the Holy Spirit. Apt to teach, patient, but there's no place in there for debates. There's no place in there for, you know, striving. It's got to be done away with. In meekness, instructing, because we know the truth. And the truth, we should be emboldened in the truth. By the Holy Spirit, we should be emboldened in that truth. A lot of times we want to cut people off. We want to, you know, just say, all right, you've gone down the path, you've gone down farther, and I'm just going to deliver you unto Satan and let him have his way with you until he destroys you, and then maybe we'll have a discussion after that. That's not what the scripture here is telling us to do. We are apt to teach. We show them everlasting kindness. We show them meekness and say, hey, you know what? It could be that you're going to see this and you're going to say, hey, they're going to repent. Okay. We want to cut people loose a lot of times because it's hard. It's hard to deal with them. But how are they going to know if we aren't there to show them? We need to show them what the love of God is about. The Old Testament tells us that it's your kindness that leads us to repentance. It's your kindness. We need to be kind. We need to be meek. We need to be gentle. And when they see that, these are things that they can't come against because you're not trying to push it down their throat. I don't know where the term Bible thumpers came from. You know, where they come and they thump people over the head with the Bible. Hey, you know, believe in the Word of God or you're going to hell. Well, this is essentially true, but I don't see any loving kindness in that. You know, I don't see, you see, if people want to, are backing away from you, maybe they don't see the kindness. Aren't you drawn to people that are kind, that are loving? People that are abrasive and mean, I kind of tend to shy away from them. But that's the Holy Spirit giving us the kindness, giving us His kindness and loving. And then they will acknowledge the truth when they see that worked out in our lives. They have to see it in our lives. Otherwise, they're not going to have that witness. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. The reason people get so off track is because they forget to study to show themselves approved. I know that, I probably even said it myself, that, you know, as believers, we need to know what's going on in the world. But unfortunately, we get so caught up in reading what other people have to say and valuing their opinions that we neglect the study of the Word of God. The study of the Word of God should be first and foremost. And then any of these other things that somebody else says, we'll be able to discern whether they're of God or not. Because if we're not ingesting the Word of God, if the Word of God is not in all of our thoughts, if we're not rightly dividing the Word of truth, then all of these things, hey, that sounds about right. Yeah, millions of years, that could be like one day, it'd be like an eon or something like that. And all it takes is for the vain babblings to creep in. And where does the foundations go? It starts to crack the foundations. When God says 6 days, He means 6 days. When He says that the world was wiped out by a flood, He means the whole world was wiped out by a flood. When He says that the languages were confounded at Babylon, that's where the languages came from. They came from Babylon. Now, these are the things that are in the beginning of the book. The Lord tells us that these things happened. What's your reaction to those things? Is it truth? Are you accepting it on faith because we know who God is? And that God is the purveyor of truth? And it's impossible for him to lie? He has no reason to lie. There's that other guy that lies. Okay? He's the one that's promoting the lie. Jesus Christ is promoting truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He has no reason to lie. He wants to give you life. The enemy wants to see that you die. And as believers, he wants to see that you are unfruitful. Check yourself today. Are you fruitful? Are you unfruitful? There's a way of becoming fruitful. Repent. Turn away from iniquity. Gather yourselves together and see, this is what I've been doing, and this is against Scripture. And if you don't know what you're doing, if you can't take everything that you do and compare it to Scripture and say, yep, I am right on with the Word of God. You see, this is the test. This is the litmus test. Study to show yourself approved unto God. And then when you're, and when that happens, then you're going to be bearing fruit. Patience, love, goodness, peace, faith. Oh, man, these are the things of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We do thank you for your word. We thank you for, Lord, your Holy Spirit that, Lord, just keeps us on the straight and narrow. We do pray, Father, that, Lord, as we prepare our hearts for communion today, that, Lord, we would examine ourselves, that we would take stock of the things that are going on in our lives. And, Lord, we would make that decision of whether we're going to turn away from iniquity or not. Lord, we want to be vessels of honor in your house. We don't want to be saved by the skin of our teeth, Lord, but we want to be, Lord, sending up our treasures ahead. Lord, basking in your loving kindness each and every day. Oh, Lord, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name.